This podcast is brought to you by BearRadio.net, eclectic gay music 24/7.
Greetings. Thanks for joining us here on Bear Soup. This is Spunk Daddy, Ron Serratia.
We're with Daddy Bear Rocco.
And we're enjoying our huge backyard hot tub. Plenty of room for every bear. Just drop trow and drop that big hairy bod into the drink. You're just in time for Bear Soup. I want to read you Kate Clinton's memoriam for Eric Rofus, entitled The Last Time I Saw Eric, from the August 29, 2006 Advocate. Early on June 26, 2006, Eric Rofus died of a sudden massive heart attack in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Friends who found him said he looked as if he were sleeping. The New York Times lay on him. His computer was open next to him on the bed. Online paeans to him surface every day. Memorials in many cities are planned. See ericrofus.com. Eric accomplished a lot in his almost 52 years. Books, degrees, articles, organizing projects. It will take many people to finish the nearly finished projects of this one man's life. I always suspected he had longer days than the rest of us, like his partner, friends, lovers, colleagues, co-conspirators, and critics. I can't believe he is out of days. We had met for coffee on what was his last morning in Provincetown or in any town. He was a great meeter. So many people at his memorial in P-Town said woefully, "We were going to meet for coffee, for lunch, for a tea dance, for dinner, at the vault." After we both shared town gossip, a life force for both of us, we talked about his work, my shows. He leaned in over his chai with muffin crumbs in his beard and said, "You've got to do something in your show about these mosquitoes. They're nearly biblical, don't you think?" Eric always had suggestions for material for me. AIDS, SM, gay politics. He knew more about my lesbian separatist culture than I did. When I lived in LA, he volunteered me to be his greeter at the Gay Center's Thanksgiving open house for gay street kids. The tables were loaded with food, but no one was stepping up to eat. I froze. He swept into the awkward moment, made a huge and gracious welcome, picked up a plate, loaded it, and sat down to eat. Everyone followed. Once, Eric told me, "Come, you'll get a lot of material," which was his Yenta way of getting me to meet Urvashi. After a lovely evening tryst, I was tiptoeing early next morning back to my room when I ran into Eric, doing his best tiptoe, delicately dangling huge green Converse sneakers. At 18 years with Urvashi, I can say that Eric was right. I got a world of material. We finished our tea and coffee. He was going to go work some more and meet a friend for a tea dance. "It's 70s music," he said gleefully. I passed. Of course we made a plan to meet again. With that grand twinkle of his, he promised. "And next time, I'll tell you about all the great fun sex I've been having this summer." I rolled my eyes. I believe my last words to him were, "Goodbye, you big hoe." And that was Kate Clinton's article, "The Last Time I Saw Eric." You know, when a lesbian comic comments on the size of a gay man's sneakers, that can mean only one thing. And here's another bear-related item from Will Doig's article. "Is Johnny Knoxville the gayest straight guy ever?" The September 2006 issue of Out Magazine. Jackass, which premiered as a 30-minute television series for MTV 6 years ago and will spawn its second feature-length movie this fall, began with Knoxville, a handgun, a Kevlar vest, and a simple idea. For a skateboarding magazine, Knoxville videotaped himself testing various types of self-defense weaponry, including a 38mm handgun that he borrowed from his neighbor's wife and with which he shot himself in the chest. He tasered and stun-gunned himself. He shot pepper spray directly into his eyes, a stunt that he counts as his most painful to date. "It's in your eyes for 15 minutes," he says. "Someone told me to pour milk in my eyes. Milk doesn't do a thing." These videotapes begat Jackass and jump-started Knoxville's acting career. "We didn't even think it could be a television show," he says. "I didn't realize it would take off and do what it did, whatever that was." 6'1" with a dark, square-jawed face, fine abs, and a pickup truck owner's sense of style. He actually drives a black 70 Cadillac. His look would help him get his foot in the door. Jackass added the necessary resume item and helped him land roles as a manipulative skateboard promoter in Lords of Dogtown, as a chronically aroused Luke Duke in The Dukes of Hazzard, and as the leader of a band of sex addicts in A Dirty Shame, where director John Waters dubbed the Jackass team, quote, "his most favorite gay, straight guys ever," unquote. During the filming of A Dirty Shame, a film credited for bringing gay bears into the collective American consciousness, Knoxville developed a thing for bear culture and tried to get himself on the cover of American Grizzly magazine. "They said they don't do celebrity endorsements," he laments. "I was so angry and hurt. I asked John, 'Do you have a number for the editor?' But he didn't want me to grovel." Instead, Knoxville tattooed a bear on his arm with "grrr" written across its belly. Then, he bought all the MTV executives' subscriptions to American Grizzly, whether they liked it or not. Which pretty much sums up the Jackass mentality. Its devoted fan base knows that not only is Jackass really juvenile, it's also perceived as really, really gay, a quality that Knoxville appears to relish. "A few different publications gave us awards for, gayness," he says. "After this next movie comes out, we might be looking at some Lifetime Achievement Awards." The franchise is essentially Girls Gone Wild for Homos, an amateurish production where jockish straight boys get naked and, as Knoxville says, wrestle around and hurt each other. There is ass play, giggling. It just comes real natural. So natural that while shooting Wild Boys, the Jackass crew's current MTV venture, which is like National Geographic with G-strings and injuries, they got some notes from above saying, "Okay guys, this is almost too gay. Can you tone down the gayness?" And so they tried to make it not as gay, but then it just got gayer, Knoxville says. So it seems we are no longer driving this ship. As a result, Jackass has inadvertently, or perhaps quite calculatedly, been branded an instant camp classic, expanding its fan base from teenage boys who've had too much soda to also include 30-something gay men who gather in tastefully furnished Chelsea apartments to watch the DVDs. And despite his insistence, it's difficult to believe Knoxville when he says that the homoerotic angle is out of his hands. At times, it seems he and his boys go to great lengths to accommodate Carson Kressley's hangers-on. And that's from the article in Out Magazine. Is Johnny Knoxville the straightest gay man? Is Johnny Knoxville the gayest straight man ever? Right. I just want to say to Johnny Knoxville and to John Waters, if you ever want to join us naked in the bear soup hot tub, you'd be welcome anytime. Whoops, the darn drain's clogged with fur again, so gotta go. This is Spunk Daddy's Bear Soup, episode number 31. Music by the Mermen. Thanks for joining us here exclusively on the Bear Radio Network.
You have been listening to Bear Soup. Send your questions and comments to bearsoup@bearradio.net.